Please turn to 1 John chapter 1 again this morning. Always amazing to me how exhausting the scriptures are, but yet how many things overlap sometimes. It's a very interesting phenomenon. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. The Lord God made man in His image. And in doing so, He instilled in us five senses so we could communicate with the world around us and with Him. They connect us with our environment. Psalm 94:9 says, "He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see?" And Proverbs 20:12 tells us, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them." As many have personally experienced, the loss of one or more of these senses can be a great handicap. In fact, I remember as a young person, we would discuss with my friends the age-old question, if you had to lose one of your senses, which one would it be? It's an interesting question. Because we have five. Some may seem more important to the others, but when you start delving into what it means to lose even one, then you can see that we would be handicapped greatly. So we're going to look today at these five, and we're going to try to see how these relate to our life in the truth. And I think what spurred this thought on today was, I think last week, Brother Mack in our class up front was talking about Simon Peter and him seeing. And we talked a little bit about what that phrase meant when he was talking about the Holy Spirit and so forth. So this is kind of why I chose this today. Five senses. The eye. Let's start with the eye. We have two eyes, most of us, with which to detect the visible universe around us. It is the most complex of our senses and provides the most data to our brains. What we sense is light vibration that our minds converge to form an image. A very large section of our brain is dedicated to the processing of images to permit quick recognition of things we see. Secondly, the ear, our hearing. We have two ears with which to detect the audible universe. This is the second most important of our senses and provides a considerable amount of data to the brain, as evidenced by the ability of the blind to negotiate their environment using their sense of hearing as their primary sense. As with the eye, the ear senses vibrations of the air, which the brain converts to sound. From the time of our birth, our brains are building a large database of sounds which permit us to identify people and places almost instantly. Nose, the sense of smell. Our nose is well positioned to sense smells in front of us. Nose tissues sense airborne chemicals, which the brain converts to our perception of smells and allows us to identify those things that we are familiar with. The nose works closely with the tongue in sensing and enjoying food. And you can relate to that if you've ever had a cold, because what happens to your sense of taste when you sit down at the table and you eat? You typically don't really enjoy it because the dome in the back and the mouth, they're all connected. And those flavors go waft up to the nose chamber and it allows you to amplify what you're eating. The tongue. The surface of the tongue senses chemicals in the food we eat. And just as it does with the other organs, the brain converts this information from the tongue into the sensation of taste. We all have developed a large catalog of taste which bring great pleasure to our lives. And we also know what things that we like to avoid. And fifth, touch, the skin. The skin is a sensory organ. It's the largest organ in the body. Even though it is not typically considered as such, nerves which permeate every square inch of skin constantly are sending signals to the brain. The interpretation of these signals provides our sense of touch. It is not just a perception of contact. We can distinguish a large variety of feelings such as soft, hard, hot, cold, smooth, rough, and the like. So back to the age-old question. If you had to lose one sense, what would it be? Most of us think of the big three, our eyes, our ears, and our voice. We lose our eyes, we take out a huge amount of information that we see every day. And we know people that are blind even from birth. They do struggle, but because God so wonderfully developed the human body, the hearing becomes a redundant feature and helps them in their life. The ear, when you lose your hearing, may not be as bad you think, but to never hear anything ever, not to be able to communicate with one another because you can't here, for me, losing sounds of children or children, the sound of music, which I dearly love, be very difficult. Smell. Sometimes we may think, well, that would be the one. You know, that might be the one I would choose. You know, I'm not going to smell my dirty socks. But once again, smell works in tasting and enjoying our food. Taste and skin, maybe these might be something we might want to lose. The skin is fifth on the list, but if you could not feel anything, if somebody would touch you on the shoulder or back, if all of your sensory input from the skin was eliminated, that would be very difficult. So I hope as we were talking about these things, you're trying to relate these to a spiritual lesson. And there is one. It's interesting when we look in the beginning books of Genesis and we read about the fall of man coming quickly. All five senses were involved in this first transgression. In Genesis 3, verses 5 to 7, we read, "For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw," vision, "that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took," or touched, "the fruit thereof, and did eat," taste and smell, "and gave also to her husband with her. He heard her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons." This is our first mention of these various senses. And there are many, many references in the Bible regarding all of the senses, aside from the natural references. So we can look at these in reference to our spiritual lives, brethren. They are both positive and negative mentions about most. So let's look at these. Seeing. On the bad side, we have good and bad, positive and negative on each of these references. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Very true, isn't it? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh knows man's heart. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." This is typical of man. Always, really. "Whatsoever mine eye desired, I kept not from them." Vision is a very strong emotion. Do you think TV has been very popular? Why do you think on a Super Bowl they charge, what is it, $2.5 million for a 30-second slot? Because of what we might see and hear. Matthew 13, verses 13 to 16. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seen, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And them in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which is written, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive." For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's not talking about the natural aspect of seeing and hearing in its basic way. He is talking about spirituality by seeing, seeing through faith, hearing, hearing God's word and obeying. 1 John tells us in 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The good. Psalm. I've got four references from David. It says Psalm 19:8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 25:15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. In Psalm 121, verse 1, he says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. And in 123:1, he says, unto thee lift up I up my eyes, O thou that dwelleth in the heavens. We know David was a very spiritual man, and he was in constant prayer with the Heavenly Father, asking for help, asking for forgiveness. He was a man after God's own heart. The vision that he had wasn't natural vision. The vision that he had was spiritual. And his eyes were looking at a particular subject, that is, deity, and how to please him. Matthew 6, 22 to 23. We read, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In Jeremiah 6, we read, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls, but they said, we will not walk therein. Stand in the way and see the old paths and walk therein. It takes vision to do that. We have to see spiritually the path that we should tread upon. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen, you love. It's a definition of faith. Is it not seeing the invisible? Seeing the truth? Micah 7:7, therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the salvation, or for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me, looking unto the Lord. So how do we perceive or see? In our class, we looked at the case of Simon, whom when he saw the laying on of hands produced the Holy Spirit power, he was tempted in his old ways. And the word saw there means to look closely at, to see with interest and desire. So, with our vision, in the truth, it depends on what we are looking at and how. Hearing. In Genesis 3:17, he says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou had hearkened, because you heard the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." As in our spiritual life, we can be greatly influenced by what we hear from others. Many things can sound good or correct if presented in the soothing tones of a presenter. How well do we listen, brethren? In Psalm 115:6, he says, "They have ears, but they hear not." In Proverbs 23:9, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Jeremiah 11:8, "For yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not." 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." When they will not hear sound doctrine. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having" what? "Itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." This is a great problem in our faith today. The itching ears, looking for teachers that have turned away from the truth and not enduring sound doctrine. On the flip side, Deuteronomy 5:1 tells us, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear." This is said many times. "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them." It's the same for us. "Hear, brethren, I speak into your ears this day," Yahweh says, "through the word of the Holy Scriptures, that we may learn and keep and do." Psalms 78:1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Matthew 11:15, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's repeated more than once in the Scriptures, isn't it? "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Psalm 51:8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Psalm 85:8, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." Psalm 143, David says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee." The way I should walk, hearing and seeing how and where he should walk. John 8, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Remember, we talked about the hearing, stacking up data in our brains that we may recognize voices. I dare say that if you blinded pretty much any one of us in this room, and one by one the brethren came and walked up to you and spoke, you could probably recognize their voice, could you not? It's pretty astounding that we can do that. Even though I have trouble deciphering my children's voices sometimes on the phone. John, okay, my sheep. Okay, Revelation in John chapter 1, 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In John 3, Revelation 3, 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him, and he with me. We have to not only keep our vision sharp, but we have to keep our ears open and receptive. For only by hearing the correct things will we be able to understand and be receptive to God's Word. All right, speech. Genesis 3:17. And Adam, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, thou shalt, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. We talked that. Hearkening unto the voice of thy wife. Like hearing, our voice can say a lot of things. How we say, what we say, can influence for good or for bad. Matthew 12:34 says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Genesis. To the good we read, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. John 10. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. 1 Corinthians 14, we read, yet in the ecclesia I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. In Psalm, David has some comments. He says in chapter 35, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness, of thy praise all the day long. In Psalm 49, my mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Psalm 119, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. In Psalm 119, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Zechariah, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak, ye every man, the truth to his neighbor. Execute to judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. 1 Peter 4, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to ye ought to answer every man. Speech itself can be a very powerful motivator and swear. We've all heard it, people that have the gift of gab. There are men that make millions of dollars a year teaching people how to speak to crowds, how to present. Salespeople are almost forced into going to these classes if you've ever worked in that capacity. And it's the same thing in the truth, is that we can be swayed easily by men's speech if we do not match those things to the Scriptures. We've all known these type of individuals that have that power in their speech. What will our speech be, brethren? Touch. Genesis 3:3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, nor shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve's view that was that the tree was not even to be touched, but she did. She saw and then heard. Then came the touch, the actual connection with what was forbidden. And from this, it was only a short step to the full and final breaking of the law, the actual eating of this fruit. James talks about this process of developing sin. And he says in chapter 1, 14 and 15, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Touch or feel can elicit many responses. It can be sensual. It can be protective. It can be diagnostic. Or healing in the case of our Lord Jesus. Leviticus 5:2 says, if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass or of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. We know this from the Mosaic institution, that touching a dead or unclean thing transferred guilt. Matthew 8, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean, and immediately his leprosy was cleaned. In Matthew 9, the woman who followed and saying, if I may be touch his garment, I shall be whole. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 6, we read, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And what? Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is a state that we are in. Brethren, we have come out from this world of darkness. We have separated ourselves unto Yahweh. Do we go back and touch the unclean thing? Touch is representative more than physical act of laying fingers on an object. It is an act of partaking in activity. Taste. Taste would seem to be an odd thing to mention in the Bible apart from the natural act of putting food or other substances in our mouths, but there are a few mentions. We are restricting the scope of our consideration of the tongue to the sense of taste. A sense of taste is a testimony to the love of God. The taste of God's words, the truth, is a delight to all God's people. What is not commonly known is that our sense of taste would be useless without water. Water, the universal solvent, works with enzymes in our saliva to dissolve our food so we can taste it. Water often represents truth, or God's word in the Bible. We can only taste God in proportion as we have the truth. Without truth, there is no tasting, only ignorance. Matthew 5:13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden underfoot of men. David in Psalms says, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And in Psalm 119, verses 101 to 104, we read, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Sweeter than honey, he says. We see an odd scripture on the surface when we look at Hebrews 2:9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Well, when we look at the definition of this word by Strong's, it means to taste, or figuratively, to experience. Thayer says the word means to try the flavor of, to partake, to feel, to make trial of. When we look at it that way, we can look at this aspect of taste in the Scripture. The saltiness, tasting to see if the Lord is good. The words of God are sweet unto my taste. They make a bit more sense. Christ experienced death on the cross. When we taste of something, we experience it scripturally. So, to kind of wind up, let's look back at David again. Let's turn to Psalm 115. Starting at verse 1. It says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Ears have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. David's lesson is here that we should use our God-created senses for the sake of serving Yahweh. If we use what we have to the sake of the truth, then we will be blessed in our actions. If not, the things we speak and see and hear and taste and touch will be like these idols. Hebrews 5:14 tells us, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Rotherham translates this, "To such as are mature pertaineth the strong food, who by reason of habit have their organs of perception well trained for discriminating both good and evil." Our five senses connect us with the environment. The literal and symbolic uses of Scripture convey this idea of connection and perception, both the appropriate kind and the inappropriate. We who have consecrated our human life will experience a dramatic change to our senses when we receive our spirit bodies, if it be Yahweh's will. Will we have only five senses then? John records a wonderful promise that gives us a hint of what will be experienced then. And he says in 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We'll enter into our memorial portion by singing hymn 108. Jesus, thou Son of righteousness, shed forth thy living rays, stir up thy strength, thy mightiness, and manifest thy praise. Hymn 108. Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. When we look at, or have looked at, these series of various verses dealing with our senses, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, skin, we see that, as we read in our reading, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and our hands have handled, for life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father when it was manifested. True fellowship was with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That when we look at Christ's life, we truly understand that all of His senses were dedicated to a particular purpose. His eyes were always on the Scriptures and His Heavenly Father, seeing, as we read in Hebrews 12, says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. The faith, author and finisher of our faith, faith is seeing the invisible. And Christ did that truly. He heard with his ears the readings, the admonitions from his parents when he was young, and the voice of his heavenly Father. He took all of these things to his life and to his heart and understood what he heard. He spoke and tasted and smelled the things that he did, that he might have led a perfect life unto his heavenly Father, that his actions would go up as a sweet smelling savor unto our heavenly Father. He would touch and cure those around him of their various ills and diseases. He was the epitome of the senses working for the truth, for God's will. We are here to remember him today, the manner of his life and the manner of his death. As for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. The author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross and despised the shame because he saw and understood the plan and purpose of God. Faith, the evidence of substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So today, when we read all of these verses and we look at how our senses can be used in our faith, we see the epitome of that in our Lord Jesus in his short life upon this earth. Matthew 26, he says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When we partake of this cup and this bread today, we will see the symbols set before us. We will taste and smell these symbols and realize the true meaning of what we are here for. The body and blood of Christ anointed. Please stand and we'll ask our brother Mac if he will offer prayer for the wine, or for the bread.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we humbly approach unto thee in prayer at this time, thankful for the sacrifice of thy Son and for the hope that comes through that sacrifice. We partake now of this bread, we which we know is a symbol of his body. As we break it, we know it is a symbol of the pain and the suffering that he endured, and the violence which caused his death. We are grateful, Father, for so great a love that was given unto us, that thou provided thy Son, that he submitted to thy will, and endured such a death that we might have hope of life eternal. For we know that it is his death that has ratified thy covenants of promise. And we thank thee. Guide us, direct us, help us in everything that we say and do, that we might bring glory and honor unto him and unto thee. For it is in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank thee and pray. Amen.
Please stand and ask our brother Sid to offer a prayer for the wine.
Our Heavenly Father, thou who art the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our God as well, we come into thy presence once again as we participate in this memorial service, reflecting upon the great love that thou didst demonstrate unto us by the provision of thy Son. For we know it was a great sacrifice on thy behalf, as well as his. And we thank him for his perfect obedience and his love for thee and his love for us, and that he was willing to make this sacrifice on ours and his own behalf. We pray that we would be ever mindful of this great love that we have been shown. May we strive to demonstrate and reflect that love for one another as we walk towards thy kingdom together. Help us to help each other to fulfill thy will in every respect. Be dependent upon each other, realizing that we have an obligation to help each other into thy kingdom. But we are all dependent upon thee and thy Son. And we pray that you would continue to bless us, that you would give us opportunities to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank thee for this cup of wine, which we recognize is a symbol of his blood and therefore his life that was devoted wholly unto thee, into the fulfilling of thy will. We pray that we would discern its true significance, and that we would, like him, dedicate our lives to thee. Please forgive us of all those many things we do amiss, and be with all of thy servants as they gather around this memorial table. We ask these mercies and blessings and give thee our thanks through him who is our Savior, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We'll close our service with the singing of hymn 240, after which we'll ask our brother Dave Pirtle if he will offer prayer, closing prayer. Most glorious things are spoken, Jerusalem, of thee, to all God's saints, the token of love and liberty. Hymn 240.